This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a ministry of the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Our speaker is Pastor Hans Overdoon.
In Nehemiah chapter 3, we come to the passage where we are told about the people rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. This chapter of 32 verses begins this way. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananiel. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho. And next to them builded Zachar, the son of Imri. So the chapter goes on, listing many people and different sections of the wall rebuilt, ending with verse 32, reading, "And between the going up of the corner unto the sheep gate repaired the goldsmiths and the merchants." Now, dear listener, as we look at this passage, and if possible, I encourage you to have your Bible open to Nehemiah chapter 3, what I want to bring out from this inspired scripture is how full it is of practical godly truths. That, in fact, will be the theme for this message and next week's message based now on this chapter. Notice with me a whole number of practical godly truths that leap out of the page, as it were, and that are so important and basic in living for God and good. Let me, by way of introduction still, just make a point about passages that are full of lists of names and genealogies, etc. In this case, our text chapter gives a long list of those involved in the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. A chapter like this is not the most edifying for reading at the table with family devotions. Reading through the Bible at family devotions is a very good practice, but with these kinds of chapters, we need to show wisdom. The names are hard to pronounce, making it also for difficult reading in a setting of family devotions. Yet this passage can and should still be read as part of personal devotions, and it is a passage that we as parents can read ahead of time, and then at devotions read just a few verses and give different comments on interesting notes about this chapter. My single point here is, don't judge chapters like Nehemiah 3 with so many names as simply without purpose and value. It has the immediate value of teaching us that here we are speaking of actual history and people of old involved in the cause and work of the Lord thousands of years ago. Don't skip over these passages, but be wise in how you go through them, reading maybe a couple of verses and giving a summary of the rest, and then highlighting a few interesting, instructive points from also a chapter like this one. What is the setting of the chapter? Nehemiah has rallied the people with God's blessing to rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem, the city where the temple of God was, the place where God pledged His special presence and care. Chapter 3 then tells us of the project beginning, and you notice the people were by and large all behind the project, and all doing their part to get those walls rebuilt. All classes of people were involved, whole families were involved, different trades were involved. It is one well-organized, united, enthusiastic project in the history of the kingdom of God. It was a high point in the lives of God's people of old. Well, let us see some of the lessons to be gleaned from some of the details about this rebuilding project. Notice for one how the priests and high priests give the leadership and example in the rebuilding work. They are the first mentioned. The God-appointed leaders in the church are called to give an example to the flock. What a responsibility this also gives us, those of us in any leadership position, also in church life today. Any leadership role a person has, especially in the home and church, and in society at large, comes with that extra responsibility to be a good example to others. Are you taking this seriously, each one listening now, with whatever leadership roles or position you may have? Think here too of parents with children. What kind of example are you to your children? Are you leading the little ones and teenagers in God's way, according to His word? Do you think about the example you are giving to those following you, and in the company you are with, and in the life of the home and church and society we live in? Is there not sometimes the attitude shown, look, I'll take a leadership position, and I accept my leadership role in whatever sense, but don't expect me, and please don't nag me about being an example in every respect, as long as I do fulfill my leadership responsibilities. But you see, being a good example in all of life is basic to good leadership, whatever your role in leadership might be in life, whatever leadership position in the home, at work, or in school or society, and especially in the Christian church. You and I need to take very seriously our calling to be an example. The high priest and the priests were out there involved in the rebuilding work, giving the example to the rest. Are you giving a godly example in whatever leadership role or position of responsibility you may be in? Consider next how we are told the rebuilding work begins and ends at the sheep gate, verse 1 and verse 32. Why is this mentioned? The sheep gate is the gate where the sheep would be led in for the animal sacrifices in the temple. Can we not say from this how the whole rebuilding project was one done in the light of the forgiving mercy of God through the sacrifices, which ultimately we know pointed to the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world? The point here is, what motivated this rebuilding project was God's love and mercy in His redemptive plans and provision and promises. And the whole project, too, was in view, we may say, of the ultimate fulfillment of God's promises of salvation and deliverance through the coming Messiah one day. The work is listed as beginning at the sheep gate and then, going in counterclockwise fashion, ends up again at the sheep gate. This is not without gospel reason. It should remind you and me how all of life only always makes sense, also the Christian life, in view of Christ, and being motivated of Him, and through Him, and to Him, to whom be all the glory, together with the Father and the Spirit, for all His mercy, His saving mercy and grace and power. Do your days begin at the sheep gate, and end at the sheep gate, as it were? Does each project and endeavor and every responsibility you have begin and end with you at the sheep gate, looking to Jesus as Savior and Lord, and seeking to do all things in dependence on Him and in praise to Him? Or do you get involved in this and that with no thought of God, really, or hardly a thought at all? Do you begin the day without prayer and without reading a devotion? Or do you have your quiet time before you get going for the day? Likewise, when you end the day, is there a prayer to God for His forgiving grace and His gracious keeping and His saving, sanctifying ministry through Word and Spirit in your heart and life and that of your loved ones and with so many others as well? Notice, too, how we are told, specifically in verse 1, how the priests sanctified or consecrated, that is, dedicated to God and His glory, their work. You find that twice mentioned in verse 1. In Colossians 3:23, Paul writes to the New Testament Christians, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men." Is this your mindset, too, with all you are about? Are you out to glorify God in all you do at home, at school, at work, in church, and in your community, with body and soul and your whole being all the time? Will you praise the Lord? The writer of the song, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow," has another stanza to that song which says in prayer and praise to God, "Direct control suggest this day all I design or do or say, that all my powers with all their might in thy sole glory may unite." Is this what describes you too? Surely our text is calling for that to be so, and it is sin on your and my part when it is not so. We were made to glorify God and to praise Him always. Do you acknowledge this truth as well? Isn't this all practical, godly truth to learn from our text passage? Can you find more lessons to learn? What about the point of, in God's service and in His church and her ministry, good organization and order is part and parcel of that? This rebuilding project was well planned by Nehemiah, dividing the work into more than 40 sections and giving leaders in each section responsibility for the work. Today there's quite a mindset out there in the Christian church at large that organization and order is to be avoided in the church, and just let everyone do what each thinks works best for themselves, and as the Spirit moves, so to speak. But God is a God of order. And also in church life, as Paul states in 1 Corinthians 14:40, we are told, God says, let all things be done decently and in order. In 1 Timothy 3 as well, we are told by the Spirit-inspired Apostle Paul how God calls for office bearers in His church who shepherd the flock of God in the name of Christ. And God gives very specific guidelines for the office bearers of His church. The Christian church is of God. And even in its structure and organization, we are not just to do our own thing, but to listen to God and to follow His word and will. God followed order in His creating this world, and He had order in the building of the tabernacle and in the camp of Israel camped around that tabernacle. Having order in God's church is not something unspiritual, but rather directly linked to the character of God, and it is in line with all the will of God. To be against order in the church is to be against God Himself, as He has revealed Himself so much as the God of rule and order. Notice too how in many cases the people worked opposite their houses, as verse 24 states, or for their district, or within their district, or part, as verse 17 states, suggesting the importance of taking care on the home front that things are being done in dedication to God and in view to His glory. Things were organized that each one would take care of the section nearby, and if possible, then extend also to other sections. Here we are reminded, are we not, how important is what happens at home and from our families and within our families. We need to pray and work for strong Christian marriages and holy, godly families, for the church is not stronger than her families. The more we live in our personal lives and in our family life, seeking and serving the Lord, the more in our church life we will bear Christian testimony to God and bring real praise and honor to Him. Are you convinced of this as well? Are you earnest and conscientious also that your home, your family, be a godly Christian family? Not hardly so, but heartily so. Not grudgingly so, but gladly so. Not sporadically so, but steadfastly so. Is this what you are aiming for? Pursuing? Do you say too with Joshua in Joshua 24, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? And does this show in your priorities and habits of life, your pursuits and your conduct and conversation? Won't your humble prayer life testimony be then too, in words based on Psalm 86, by all whom thou hast made be praise and worship paid. Through earth abroad, thy name be glorified. There is none great beside. Matchless thy works abide, for thou art God. Help me thy will to do, thy truth I will pursue. Teach me to fear. Give me the single eye, thy name to glorify, O Lord my God most high, with heart sincere. Next week we will continue our study of Nehemiah 3 with its many practical godly truths. May God by His Holy Spirit bless the practical truths mentioned so far, making you and many more not only hearers of His word, but doers thereof too. Yes, even like Nehemiah. Amen.
If you would like a free printed copy of this message for yourself or a friend, write to Banner of Truth Broadcast, 9698 Epp Drive, Chilliwack, British Columbia, Canada. Postal code is V2P6N6. That's V2P6N6. For more information about the Free Reformed Churches of North America, you can go to frcna.org. Again, frcna.org on the Internet. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next week at the same time for the Banner of Truth radio broadcast.